I used to when I was buff. Knock him in the head. I mean, I would now if I could catch him. But they won't let, they run from me. But it's a joy. It's a joy. Brother Melvin was talking about, I think, Brother Melvin, we've been every year but two, I think. And 1 year we got confused. And he called me, I think it was the 15th year. I don't believe it was. Whichever year it was. He called and he said, y'all going to be there, aren't you? And I booked a revival. I messed up. It was my fault. Because I was telling somebody, I think I was telling Brother Midget yesterday, this was the first introduction of camp meeting. I'm getting teary-eyed now because, Brother Melvin, you don't know. Brother Melvin means all the world to me. You won't get on the fighting side of me. Talk about Brother Melvin. I'm serious. Brother Melvin has never done anything to the Davisons except to be good to them. Y'all's church has gave us a place to sleep. Y'all fed us. You've paid us. You loved us. And y'all mean the world to me. I'll be honest with you. And it is a privilege to be here on the 25th anniversary of this camp meeting. Now, what we're trying to do, and I'm going to preach here in a little bit, and I'm not... But what we're trying to do this year is to make everything perfect. We've been scratching our heads all year long how to get the sound exactly right. We don't want to offend anyone with the sound. I know some gets loud and some gets soft. And I know there are roars and pops and things like that. But listen, the message tonight is going to kind of solve all that. And I want you to listen real well what I've got to say. I've been traveling for the Lord many years. I started out with my mom and dad when I was 13 years old. My dad was an evangelist. We traveled 365 days a year. We never stopped. And I remember my dad would have an old Rambler. I never forget this. We had an old Rambler car. Was in the back seat, and I could hear my mom and dad talk. My dad would say something to my mom like this, said, Joyce, now we just got enough gas to get to the meeting. He says, what we're going to do, we're going to turn the car on, we're going to travel up the hill, when we get to a hill, we're going to cut it off, and we're going to coast down. And we've done that many a times. And when I was a young boy, I didn't understand that. I would sit back there and I said, now how crazy could anybody be to love the Lord enough to coast all the way to church and not even know how you're going to get back home? And it worried me a lot. I never forget one revival we was in, and it was this lady. It's the honest truth. Now this lady, she was a big old woman. I mean, she was big and mean as the devil. She had little kids. And it wasn't anything to see her hit slap one of her kids and go flying across the pew. And my dad would preach. I mean, he would preach every night. We ran a 3-month revival at this church. And he would preach every night. And got concerned about this lady because she wouldn't come down. She needed to have been saved. And my dad, you just got to know him, he got up in the pulpit and he said, look, church, me and my family's not going to eat until that woman gets saved. Now, I was just a young kid. I said, Dad, I'm hungry. He said, son, we're going to pray and fast. That woman's going to get saved. Well, she come back every night. For 3 weeks, she come back every night. She wouldn't get saved. About that fourth night, I was on my knees, and I said, God, save this woman. I'm hungry. But she got saved. I shouted louder than anybody. I thought I was going to starve to death. But my daddy would do crazy things like that. And we traveled for the Lord. And I said, if I ever preached, I wouldn't do nothing crazy. That's wrong. I've done a lot of crazy things in my life. But the best thing I've ever done was getting my boys under the Word of God. Under the gospel. because of Brother Melvin one day saw some kids, said, I want to get them over my church. And my boys, they fell in love with the Word of God, and now they're all preachers, pastors, evangelists. It's nothing like the Word of God that'll settle in your soul, that'll change your life. And I praise the Lord tonight for this, and I'm not going to preach long. I know I did a lot of talking. I ain't going to keep you a long time. Amen. But I tell you, I do love the Lord, don't you? Aren't you glad you saved? Listen, I'd rather be saved than anything in the world. There's nothing in this world that would ever change the feeling I have in my heart. And I'm thankful for that today. If you got your Bibles, y'all probably will know exactly where we're turning to because it was preached this morning, Psalms 33 and Psalms 34. I'm going to preach tonight out of Psalms 34. So you say, Brother Billy, you planned all that. No, be honest with you. I knew I was going to preach. Nobody told me, but God gave me this message. And y'all just don't know how much I wanted to jump up this morning and just keep it going. Amen. But Psalms 34. The Bible says in Psalms 34, I'm just going to read you a scripture right here in the 15th verse. And the eyes of the Lord. And the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. That's us. And his ears, that's him, are open unto their cry. That's us. Father, help us tonight. Lord, give us the words to say. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What I'm going to preach to you tonight is, what are you looking at? What are you looking at? Have you ever had anybody, and we have this happen all the time, and I'm a watcher. I watch people, and I go to when I go to Walmart or restaurants, I tell Benita, I said, you set me where I can see everybody. And I just watch people. And I have had some people come by and say, what are you looking at? And I'd say, nothing. Amen. But I want to ask you a question tonight. What are you looking at? What do you got your eyes on? I mean, you can look in this world today, we're looking. I mean, if you looked at the society today and you look at the world and the economy and everything that's happening today, and you listen to the, can you turn me down just a little bit? I'm sorry. Am I fine? Okay. And if you look at the way the world is today, I mean, it'll drive you crazy. I look at things, and I said this morning to the men, I said, you know, when you don't have anything, ain't not a good word. If you don't have anything, you don't have to worry about them taking anything away. And I want to tell you something. You can start looking at what you have, and you will get depressed. I mean, you start looking about the things of this world and the money that you have and the cars that you drive and the homes that you live in, and it seems like the mortgage company is going to cut you off and the bank's going to cut you off and your tires are wore thin and your cupboards are running bare. I'm telling you, you are going to get depressed. And you are going to get down. And you are going to worry, what in the world are we going to do? But I'm here to tell you tonight, it's according to what you're looking at. Listen, I'm looking unto Jesus. The Bible says that in Hebrews that he is the author and the finisher of our faith. Listen, folks, when things start happening, I have learned over these years I can't depend on anybody, anyone at any time except for Jesus. And Jesus has never, ever let me down. Has he let you down? Amen. Has he let you down? No, sir. And he won't either. He's always there. And now, you know, there's a lot of scriptures in the Bible where people started looking at different things. You know, the very reason that the world is in the shape that it is today is because of Adam and Eve. And Eve, the Bible says,
that she looked and she saw on the tree. Her eyes got her in trouble. Now, I know the Bible says that Jesus said not to touch or partake of the forbidden fruit. Amen. But her problem was, Brother Melvin, that the Bible said that she looked at the tree and she saw that it was good. A lot of times we get in trouble because we look when we shouldn't be looking. Amen. God says, don't you touch, don't you handle not, don't you taste not. But listen, we've got a problem of looking at things that the devil will put in front of us. And when we do that, we'll start partaking of the sin of this world. Amen. And we'll get ourselves in trouble every time. Amen. How many believes that? What are you looking at? Listen, I want to tell you today, there's a lot of folks that are looking. And when she was singing that song tonight, she didn't know what I was going to preach about, and it thrilled me. When she talked about the Lord and being on the water, and we talked, sing about the cry of the Master, and I get to thinking about when the disciples, when they was out on the sea, and when the winds was raging and the waves was roaring and they was in the boat, and Jesus told them, said, you go to the other side. Listen, they was going to get to the other side, but the winds came and the rains came, and they was toiling. And they got to looking. They said, we're going to drown. But they got their eyes looking, and they saw something coming on the water. Amen. They got to looking, and they said, is that a ghost? I think that's Jesus. Amen. Peter said, hey, can I come to you? Come on. Stepped out of the boat and he started walking. Had his eyes on Jesus, Brother Melvin. But he got to looking around and said, I don't know what went through his mind. Well, look what I'm doing. Or looking at the waves, but he got his eyes off of Jesus. And when he got his eyes off of Jesus, you know what happened? He started to sink. I mean, I want to tell you something. You get your eyes off of Jesus, you will sink. You will sink. Listen, Jesus is the only way, the Bible says. There is no other way except him. No man can come to the Father but by him. And listen, folks, when you get your eyes off of Jesus, you're going to sink. But I'm thankful tonight that I've got my eyes upon a man that has never failed and he never will. Who are you looking at? What are you looking at? You think about David. David, the man after God's own heart. David, I mean, they taught and preached on David this morning. But listen, David got his eyes in the wrong position. When Bathsheba was down there taking a bath, when David ought to been out there on a battlefield and directing all the thing. Amen. He went on a rooftop and he started looking down. And when he looked down, he looked upon Bathsheba and he committed adultery. And then after he committed adultery, he committed murder. And after he committed murder, listen, I want to tell you something. Sin came upon David's life. Listen, a lot of times we think, hey, everything's going all right. But listen, I want to tell you something. You need to get your eyes off of the things of this world. This world is not doing you any good. This world is going down. But I want to tell you something. God's people are going up. Amen. Listen, I want to tell you something this morning. Or tonight, I'm sorry, tonight I want to tell you something. Amen. When you get your eyes upon sin and the devil, there's no other way to go but down. What are you looking at? I want to tell you, people talk about committing adultery. They say, well, you know, you commit adultery, but you know what the Bible says? He that looketh upon a woman with lust in her heart committeth adultery in his heart, sin in his heart. Amen. We got men today that can't get their eyes off of women. We got women, I want to tell you something. We got women today that can't quit looking, lusting after men. Amen. And we wonder why houses and homes are so disturbed because the society has opened their eyes and they're trying to show you there is a better way besides the church. But I got news for you tonight. There is no other way except for the church. Amen. We need to get our eyes upon Jesus. What are you looking at? What are you looking at?
I'm thinking about Achan, Brother Melvin. Amen. You know, Joshua, they went over there and they fit the battle of Jericho and they destroyed that city and they were supposed to go over to Ai and they were supposed to win this battle. And they told them, they said, listen, don't touch any accursed thing. And they got over there and they was going to fight the battle and then all of a sudden they started losing. And they was wondering, why in the world are we losing the battle? And they started running. They got over there and they was trying to figure out, how come we're losing the battle? We took Jericho. How come we can't win this battle? But you know what the Bible says? That Achan saw a Babylonian garment and silver. And the Bible said he went and he hid it under his tent. He knew that was wrong. And the reason he knew it was wrong because the first thing he done, he grabbed all them spoils and he took it to his tent and he hid it under his tent so nobody could see it. But you know what happened? Amen, the cursed thing. You know what happened? It all come to light. Amen, and Achan and his whole family was destroyed and burned and stoned to death. He had to lose his whole family and all his flock and all his children. And I can just imagine why one of his child saying, Mama, why we got to die today? Why are they throwing rocks at us? And they might have said, well, your dad looked at the wrong thing. And he picked up the wrong thing. Listen, I want to tell you something. Your eyes will get you into trouble. You know what about? You know what? Your eyes are the windows of your soul. And I'm just wondering tonight, what are you going to look at this week? Now, I just wonder, what are you going to look at this week? Now, I'm being serious with you tonight. What are you going to look at this week? Are you going to look at the glory of God? And what God can do in your life. And what God can do in your children's life. And your wife's life. And your husband's life. Are you going to worry about how loud Brother David is? Oh, that just bothers me so bad, Brother David. Y'all going to have to fix that. And you get your eyes upon what we're supposed to be. Listen, I've been coming here 25 years, but 23 years. And listen, when we was under the tent, the best service we ever had when the choir was singing, amen, there is a river that flows. And I don't know how many was under that tent, but listen, I want to tell you, nobody was looking around is wondering who was doing what. But everybody, they was on their knees, Brother Melvin. People was coming to the altar and people was shouting and people was praising the Lord and they didn't worry about anything. They didn't worry about the grub worms. They didn't worry about the wind. They didn't worry about the rain. They didn't worry about if the poles were going to hold up or not. But all they knew is that they had their eyes looking on Jesus and looking on the Father, and they wanted something from God, and they came in expecting something from God. And I want to tell you something that night, and I don't know if they got anything, but I got something from God because there is a river that flows from heaven. Yeah, what are you looking at? I know people, you can't satisfy everybody. There's no way. I went to a church one time, and I asked him, Brother Melvin, I said, are we too loud? This side raised their hand. Well, can you hear us? This side said, no, y'all not loud enough. And I said, how many's cold? This side raised their hand. I said, how many's hot? This side raised their hand. I mean, you're not going to please everybody. But see, I didn't come over here this week, and I told my family, you can ask my family, Brother David mentioned it, I didn't come over here to be seen. I didn't come over here to be heard. I didn't come over here to see how good I can sing, because I know I can't. But I did come over here for one reason and one reason only. I want God this year. Amen. I want the windows of heaven to open. And I want the Holy Spirit of God to come in and hover over every life. And when all these other big wigs comes in, now you listen to me. Amen. When the Wisenhance comes in and Phil Cross comes in and amen, and Squire Parsons comes in and the choirs come in and they'll say, hey,
There's something over at West Side that we don't get anywhere else. Amen. And I want to tell you something. God can do that. It's all dependent on what you're looking at. Don't look at me. Listen, Brother Melvin, I mean, he ain't going to turn flips no more. He done too old. I can't run like I used to. I'm done too crippled and I'm too old. Brother Doyle, he can't do like he used to do. He's getting on up in years. We're too sick. But you need to get our eyes off of man. And we need to get our eyes upon the Lord, where our help coming from. Where the Holy Spirit of God, listen, I want to tell you something. The Bible says in the 6th chapter of Isaiah, when Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord. You get your eyes off of the kings and the priests and everything, and you get your eyes upon the Lord. Listen, I want to tell you something. I've been in church all my life. I've been a pastor. I've been a Sunday school teacher. I've been a song director. I know how it is, Brother David. You get up there and you practice songs and you got who you want to sing and you're trying to figure out what you're going to do in the service. Amen. They don't show up. I tell you what, I've backslid so many times behind the pulpit, it's pitiful. I mean, I have to pray and pray and pray before I can even tell you to turn the page. Because I get mad because I say, well, we can't have church. There's no way in the world to have church. They didn't show up. God said, what are you talking about? What does it matter if they show up or not? I'm here. Amen. I've learned a long time ago, I don't worry about who's here, who's not. I'm on it. I hope every one of you come every night. Because if you don't come every night, you're going to miss something that God expecting for you to have. And if you don't get it, it ain't His fault, it's your fault. Because you're watching the football game tomorrow night. Shame on you. But I want to tell you something. I love it when a pirate, what are you looking at? I mean, you're looking at me kind of funny. You know, Brother Billy, what are you looking at? I mean, I'm not going to give you nothing great just tonight. I mean, besides the Word of God, I've been doing this a long time, but I want to tell you something. If you start looking, well, Brother so-and-so's not here. We just can't. If Brother Joe Arthur never shows up, we can still have church. If Brother Edwards never shows up, we're still going to have church. I am. I know, listen, I come all the way over here from Alabama. I'm going to be here all week. I'm going to spend all the money I'm going to spend. I'm going to have a good time in the Lord. And I'm not going to let anybody deprive me of having a good time at the house of God. I mean that. No matter, I don't care how, you can't help an auditorium. It's going to bounce. It's just going to bounce. You've done everything you can to stop it from bouncing. And it's wonderful. Pretty, too. I like it. But I want to tell you something. You get your eyes upon things and stuff, I'm going to promise you, you will not have a good time. And I'm going to have a good time. I'm going to shout. And Brother Melvin, he stirred my heart this morning. I told Jacob, I said, he's making me cry. Amen. He got over and got in the Lord this morning. And he just blessed my heart. He got all beside himself, started raising his hand, praising the Lord. Amen. See, I'm old-fashioned. I come from a church that you could sing one verse of Amazing Grace. And I had an Indian grandmother. And she was full-blooded Indian, and she wore her hair up up there with straight pins. And I never forget, she sang one verse of Amazing Grace, Brother Mike. And y'all might ought to turn me down just a little bit, because I'm fixing to get a little bit loud. Hey, man, and I'd sing one verse of Amazing Grace. And I just remember my old grandma. She'd go, ooh. Jump up, and them pigtails start going. She started doing the war dance. I run outside to see if it was going to rain. I want to tell you something. Them was the days that I remember. And there was a sister that sat over on the left-hand side. Her name's Sister Fossey. Never will forget her. Now, if things would start going bad in the service, she would get on her knees. And she'd start, "Oh, God, we need your presence." Things start happening. That's the way I was raised. And I like it. And I said, "Well, why are they doing all that hollering?" Then I read over in Luke 10. But the Bible says, don't rejoice because Satan is subject unto you. But he said, rather rejoice because your name is written in heaven. And then I got where, the more I grew up, the more I got to thinking about that. And they start singing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I see. You know what gets inside of me? To know that I know that I know that I know that I'm saved. And I'm looking unto Jesus. And this week, I hope that's what we do. We got preachers that'll get up, and I love every preacher that's a preacher, and I'm not saying nothing bad about preachers, because I are one. But if you're going to get up and say, let me not meddle here. But I've had young men, young preachers, get up. And I've rebuked some of them. I guess again, I'm old. And they'd say, what we need, church, is we need to get back the old-fashioned way. We need to do like they used to do in the old-fashioned way. And I asked them, I went to them, it wasn't 20-something years old. I said, do you know anything about old-fashioned way? I said, you're not old enough to know what old-fashioned is. I said, because when I was raised, amen, I was raised in an old country church that you couldn't, the piano was out of tune. Didn't even know what equipment was. First mic we ever got, we sung around one mic. Me and my dad and my mom, one mic. Amen. It was so simple to set up, Brother Melvin, back then. My daddy said, hey, you don't need all that. We had four speakers, four mics, and a board. That was it. 10 minutes we set up. Amen. But it's not in the things and stuff, folks. What are you looking at? Let's look unto Jesus. He is the reason that we're here tonight. I want to ask you a question. Are you saved? What is keeping you from being saved? What on this earth are you looking at to keep you from accepting Christ as your Savior and to be able to go to heaven and not have to worry about dying and going to hell in a lake of fire where you'll die forever and you'll burn forever? And when Jesus said there is a way, and he said that I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. He said no man comes to the Father but by me. If you come up any other way, the Bible says you're same as a thief and a robber. And they're going to be people. They're going to stand before God. And they're going to be looking. And they'll probably be looking at you. And you're going to say, what are you looking at? But I'm here to tell you, when we stand before God, you're not going to worry about Brother Billy. You're not going to worry about Brother Melvin. You're not going to worry about Brother Midget. You're not going to worry about any other. But you're going to stand before God, just you and God. And he's going to look at you. Now, I want to know what you're looking at tonight. But listen, there coming a day that he's going to look direct at you. And he's going to say,
Apart from me, I don't know you. And you're going to say, well, I went to Westside Baptist Church. I sung in the choir. I did many wonders works in your name. I've even helped cast out devils. Oh, maybe I missed it. No, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work is iniquity. And you know what's going to happen? I don't care how old you are. I don't care how rich you are. I don't care how prestige you are. I don't care how pretty you are. I don't care how ugly you are. I don't care what kind of status in life you are. They're going to take you and they're going to throw you into a lake of fire. And you're never getting out. And you're going to burn forever. And going to burn forever. And burn forever. And you're going to be screaming. And you're going to remember this night. And you're going to say, oh, if I'd only came, I wouldn't have to be here. And you're going to be like that rich man. You're going to say, Father, would you just send Lazarus to send some water and just cool my parching tongue? It won't happen. See, what are you looking at tonight? Have you looked at these altars? And you wondered, is there a place there for me? I'm here to tell you tonight there is a place for you. And God's in His presence. And you listen. I'm not a dummy. And I know when I feel it from my toes, top of my head. The presence of the Lord is here. Oh, can't you feel it? Can't you just feel it? Brother Mike, I can feel it. I can just feel it moving on this service right now. And there's someone here this tonight that's just looking. And they're wondering, what kind of flip is Brother Billy going to turn? I'm not going to turn no flips. I'm not going to run. I'm going to do about just what I'm doing. But you get your eyes on me. I can't take you one step off of this earth. I can't save you. But I'm here to tell you tonight there is one that's in this building tonight, and that's the Holy Spirit of God. And He's hovering over your life right now. And He's talking to you, and He's saying, why don't you come? Why don't you come to this altar? There is a place for you. Have you looked at it yet? I remember the place I got saved. Brother Mike, I was just a little boy. I was 8 years old. I always sat by my mother. And she sung alto, and I always sat by my mom. And I've told this many a times here, and I'm going to tell it again. This is my testimony. I can share it with you. And mama get up, Brother Melvin. She'd move me away, and she'd get up, and she'd start crying. She'd say, Church, I want you to remember Billy. He's lost. That would embarrass me so bad. And she'd sit down, and I'd, an 8-year-old boy, and I'd look up and I'd say, Ma, why would you do that? I said, that embarrasses me so bad. She just pet me on the head. On Wednesday night, she'd get up. She'd get a little serious. She'd move me off of her, and she said, Church, I want you to remember my baby. He's going to hell. I really don't want my baby to go to hell. All that stuck in my heart, and I didn't want to go to hell either. And Mom and Dad were singing, I'll never forget it. When he reached down his hands for me, I was on the 5th row, middle church. I got up as an 8-year-old boy. I saw my place. I went up to Mama and I looked up at her and I said, Mama, she looked down and they were singing. I said, Mama, I'm going to be saved. And I thought after she told the church how lost I was, how she didn't want me to go to hell, I thought she was just going to grab me up in her arms. But you know what my mama did? She said, well, son, I can't save you. But I knelt on a front pew on the right-hand side. I think you'd happy here. 8 years old, Brother Melvin. And I knelt there and I said, God, I found my place. God, I'm lost. And I don't want to go to hell. Mama's told everybody I'm going to hell. And I don't want to go to hell. And there was a man of God put his arms around me. His name was Brother Rogers. He'd gone on to be with the Lord. And he put his arms around me. And he said this. He said, how about it, little Billy? Listen, folks. About that time, there was a flood of joy coming to my heart. Jesus took a bowl there and he saw who I was and I saw who he was. And he came into my life that day 45 years ago. And he said, I'll save you. And he saved me. I'm not here to tell you I've been a perfect guy. But from that day forth, I said, Lord, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to love you. And if I'd pray every night. I did. I was selfish. I'd pray every night, God, just come get me. I want to go to heaven. My mom and dad, they joked about this all the time. They said, I'd always get and say, Lord, come get me. I want to go to heaven. I want to go to heaven. I want to go to heaven. So I got old enough to get a girlfriend. And I said, Lord, just wait a little longer. Wait a little longer. I want to have a girlfriend. All that expired, and then got up, and I said, well, Lord, just wait a little longer. I want a wife. Finally got one of them. And I said, God, wait a little longer. I sure would like to have children. Got three of them. God, just wait a little longer. I'd like to have some grandkids. Got six of them, seven on the way. But you know what, Brother Melvin? I'm about tired. I really don't think I want to wait any longer. I'm getting ready to look. Hey, there's a place in heaven. Jesus said, I go to prepare for you. And he said, if I go. You know what he said? He said, he's coming again. He said, where I am, you're going to be there. Oh, I know we got to go through a lot. I know prophecy. But one of these days, Obama, this world, the cars, the houses, the lands, don't mean a thing. Because I started out working for the Lord many years ago. And I've set my affection on things above and not on things of this earth. And I'm pressing toward the mark, the prize of the high calling, where Jesus has gone. And he promised me, he said, I'm coming again. And I'm coming to get you. And he's coming after me. But I want to ask you tonight, is he coming after you? Would you be able to honestly say tonight, I got things I could say, but I just feel in my heart that there might be someone here tonight that you're looking at different things of this world, and they are, I mean, you know, I don't even watch news, Brother Melvin. I don't even watch the news. It makes me mad. News makes me mad. I start watching it, I get so mad, I start to throw my remote at it. Amen, then I flip it. But I want to tell you something. This news ain't nothing good. And I got news for you. The Bible says it ain't going to ever be good. I mean, it's going to get worse and worse and worse. I'm going to say this. You know what the Bible says about the end of time? It said there's going to be perilous times, did it not? We're living in perilous times. I mean, it's going to get greater. But he said there are going to be wars. Said there's going to be rumors of wars. They're going to be pestilence. You know what pestilence are? They're disease caused by insects, swine flu, all these things that you're trying to hide from. It's going to be. It's here. Mothers against daughters, fathers against sons. Me and my dad, I've never fussed with my dad. We got on the outs for about a few years, and Brother Clint started praying. I'm mad at him, by the way. And you'll tell him when he gets here. I might quit his church and come over here. But he started praying. We had a prayer meeting. He started praying. He said, "God, whatever it takes, I want our family to be back together." I spent 2 weeks in the hospital. My dad came to see me in the hospital. He walked in the door and he fell on my bed. And we made everything right on the hospital. See, I didn't know Clint prayed that prayer. He told me that. And I said, "You dog." I said, "You didn't have to pray that kind of prayer." I said, "You could have done it different." Amen. But you know, fathers are turned against sons and sons against fathers. That's the end of time. I mean, how many people you been mad at lately? I mean, something happened in your life, you just go crazy. I mean, you hit the ceiling. It's the end of the world. You know, that's the end of times. You know what the Bible says? When you see all these things come to pass, he didn't say go hide yourself under a bushel or stick your head in the sand or lock yourself up in the house in the closet and hope it all go away. He didn't say that. But you know what he said, church? He said, "Lift up your eyes. Lift up your head." Amen. "For your redemption is drawing nigh." This might be, listen, I'm closing right here. This might be the very last camp meeting you'll ever be at. "Oh, you mean we're going to quit?" No, no, no. You know, the Lord could come back before Friday night. And I'm going to ask you a question. You look at me. I want to ask you a question. What are you looking at? Are you going to go to hell? The Bible says that the rich man in hell lifted up his eyes. And he saw in Abraham's bosom Lazarus been comforted. But he was tormented. And if you miss it tonight, I don't know who you are. I don't know if you're saved. I don't know if you've been saved and you just rolled back on God. But I believe with all my heart God gave me this message to ask you tonight. What are you looking at? What are you looking at? Have you wronged somebody? You can't have revival, Brother Doyle. You can't, if I was mad at you and you was mad at me and we were in the same building, every one of you wouldn't have a blessing. We wouldn't. Because we, you know, to break fellowship with God. You listen to me tonight. I know what I'm talking about. To break fellowship with God, you break fellowship with your fellow man. And if you do that, there's not a one of you going to get blessed. And I'm here to tell you tonight, if you've been looking at somebody and you don't like the way they look, you don't like the way they talk, you don't like the way they dress, you don't like anything about them, and it's hindering you, listen, don't sit there and ruin this camp meeting. What you need to do is get in the altar of prayer. The Bible says if you got an ought against somebody, you go to them, be reconciled, and I promise you, you're talking about a Holy Ghost, sin-killing, heaven-sent camp meeting. It will happen the 25th year over here at Westside Baptist Church. How do you believe that tonight? I believe that. That's what I came for. I told my family. I said, whether we sing, whether we preach, we're going over there to be blessed. I don't know about you, but I have had a great blessing today, haven't you? Started from the very beginning. Matter of fact, I'm being blessed right now. I mean, I'm so happy. I wished I could turn cartwheels, but I can't. But you know, it's nothing like being saved. Nothing like it. I asked you a question. I want them to come to piano. There's nothing like being saved. And if you're saved tonight, I'm going to ask you a question. Have you regretted a moment that Jesus ever saved you? Have you? One moment. I mean, when I'm sick, salvation keeps me going. When I'm mad, salvation keeps me going. When I'm glad, salvation keeps me going. And I'm here to tell you tonight, the Bible says, and you listen. You say, Brother Billy, how can I be saved? How can I be saved? The Bible says in Romans, he said, if I confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You don't have to come and confess to Brother Billy. You don't have to confess to Brother Melvin, Brother Alton. But to confess is simply this, to acknowledge that you are lost and that you need to be saved. And he said on down there, whosoever shall call upon his name shall be saved. Let me tell you a story. There was this young man, and you listen very carefully. I want you to listen exactly what I got to say. There was this professor came to this young man, Brother David, and he asked him a question. What are you going to do with your life? And this young boy started thinking. He said, well, I guess what I'll do is I'll grow up. That's what he said. Then the professor said, then what? He said, well, I guess I'll go to school. And he said, then what? Well, I guess after I go to school in 12 years, I'll graduate. He said, then what? And he said, well, I guess after I graduate, I'll go to college. The professor said, then what? He said, well, after I go to college, he said, I guess I'll find me a wife and I'll get married. And the professor said, then what? He said, well, I guess we'll have children. Then what? Well, I guess my children will grow up and they'll have grandkids. He said, then what? He said, well, I guess I'll get old. He said, then what? He said, well, I guess I'll just die. And he said, then what? He didn't have an answer. I want to ask you. When you die, then what? Where are you going? You going to heaven? Or you going to hell? Life is short. The Bible says it as a vapor. Appears for a little time, then it's gone. That's your life. What are you looking at? This week, don't look at me. Don't look at Brother Melvin. Don't look at none of these other people. Look unto God. But I'm asking you, as you stand, do you know Jesus? Do you know him as your personal Savior? If you don't, then what? Sing, Jacob. Would you come, Brother Melvin? Come on. Come on.
Have Jesus.
These altars are open.
Silver or gold.
But you got your eyes on.
I'd rather
have Jesus.
Be his. And have
these altars are to be full right
now.
You know you're looking at things you shouldn't be looking at.
I'd rather.
You know you've already looked. Hey, I know you've already said, oh, it's going to be too loud this year. I ain't coming back. Listen, you got your eyes on the wrong thing.
I'd rather.
You'd be looking at God.
By his name.
Then what? How do I know that the Holy Spirit's calling me, Brother Billy? I want to tell you something. The devil ain't telling you to get this way. That's the Holy Spirit of God saying, why don't you come? Brother Billy, I'm a man of my own. I'm going to do what I need to do. You just don't understand. I do understand. If you don't get saved tonight, you're going to die
and go to hell. You don't know when the next bullet's coming. You don't know when the next car's coming. You don't know when the next thing's going to happen. God knows your life, and you need to be born again tonight. Tonight is your night. Brother Billy, this is the beginning of the camp meet. Listen, I want to tell you something. God is on your trail, and He's looking at you. He's looking in your heart,